KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
We've got music from every flavor, so keep it tuned on 91.9 on that FM dial where you can turn on, tune in, and jam out.
From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
Southeast Alaska sport anglers should be able to harvest king salmon all season this year under new regulations adopted by the Alaska Board of Fisheries at its annual meeting in Ketchikan. But non-resident anglers and commercial trawlers may have to give up some fish to make that happen. KCAW's Robert Woolsey has this report.
2024 was a perfect storm for king salmon or Chinook fishing in southeast Alaska. The sport fishery, driven primarily by guided non-residents, exceeded its allocation of kings for the second year in a row, and the overage was deducted from the commercial troll allocation. Hence, there was no second commercial troll opening for kings last August. Meanwhile, resident sport anglers were caught in the middle. They couldn't retain kings in August either. This was frustrating for many, since resident sport fishing for kings in Southeast is more or less a subsistence fishery important to filling freezers for the winter. Enter Proposal 109, penned by Sitka troller Jackie Foss, which would give Fish and Game the authority to manage these competing interests on the fly during the season by dialing up or ratcheting down bag limits for non-residents while trying to preserve a stable season-long bag limit for residents and maintaining the three-decade-old 80-20 allocation split between commercial and sport harvesters. Longtime Sitka troller Jeff Farver supported the proposal, saying his industry had no way to recover the losses from the last 2 years.
The 23 and 24 sport overages driven by non-resident angler harvest pushed the sport fishery to exceed its allocation by over 30,000 fish. This overage was deducted from the troll fishery at a cost of $2.2 million in next vessel value, which is about $4.4 million in first wholesale value.
Linda Benkin, another Sitka troller and the director of the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association, also believed 109 would stabilize the Southeast King fisheries.
In recent years, one sector, the guided non-resident sports sector, has exceeded its allocation and preempted other sectors. That is the problem we ask you to solve.
Benkin asked the board to preserve the historic 80-20 split and to give the Department of Fish and Game the tools to accomplish that. No sector should be rewarded for allocation overages, she said. The board also heard compelling testimony from the charter sector, particularly arguments about the downstream economic benefits to communities and the region from out-of-state sport fishermen who book expensive trips to lodges. Board member Greg Svedson, an ardent sportsman, focused on this math, even though he didn't quite have the vocabulary.
The sports fishery brings in 6 times to the economy that the trawl fishery brings in. Troll. I'm sorry, I got it. Troll. They're close together. I know the difference, as all you do, too.
The board's middle-of-the-road solution was to not lean too far into the positions of the sport or commercial industries, and instead to find a way to keep sport fishing open for residents for the entire season. Board Chair Marit Carlson Van Dort offered an amendment adjusting the 80-20 split to 75-25 to ensure that there would be enough kings on the sport side for residents.
So the intention with the language as it stands right now was to provide the department that flexibility to manage to primarily, first and foremost, the resident priority.
Board member Mike Wood, a commercial set netter from Talkeetna, proposed amending the split yet again to 77-23. Wood's amendment passed over the objections of board vice chair Tom Carpenter, a commercial fisherman from Cordova.
What it comes down to me is this. There will be a substantial management change based on the language associated with these two numbers. I do not feel that this 3% buffer is going to guarantee the residents a king salmon priority.
Dropping another 3% from their allocation of king salmon was an unwelcome development for the Southeast commercial troll fleet. The guided sport industry would not be particularly happy with a 3% increase that was created for the benefit of residents. To board member Chris Chamberlain, the deal sounded like a win.
I've been through about 500 to 1,000 mediations over the course of my career, and every mediator will tell you that he's done a good job if both sides walk away equally unhappy. And to Mr. Wood and Ms. Carlson Van Dort, based on the discussions I've had with everyone in the crowd following this, great job.
Chamberlain voted in favor. Carpenter and Jared Godfrey opposed. Proposal 109 passed the Board of Fish 5-2. The new regulations will take effect this year. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund. In recognition of the fishing industry, which provides more than 50,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
Hatchery production of chum and pink salmon will continue as usual this year in Southeast. After many tense hours of testimony and deliberation at its annual meeting in Ketchikan, the Alaska Board of Fisheries rejected yet another attempt to curb the size of hatchery releases of chum and pink salmon into the wild. KCAW's Robert Woolsey has this report.
The hatchery debate touches on the biggest unknown in salmon ecology: what occurs in the ocean between a salmon's birth and when it returns to spawn. Proposal 156 was submitted to the Board of Fish by Virgil Umpenauer, a member of the Fairbanks Region Fish and Game Advisory Committee, and some form of this same idea has come before the board at least four previous times. Umpenauer believes that the millions upon millions of chum and pink released into the wild by hatcheries in Southeast Alaska every year are affecting the marine environment to the detriment of wild stocks of other species, like Chinook in western Alaska. He proposed that the Board of Fish cut back hatchery releases in Southeast by 25%. Stakeholders in Southeast packed the board's meeting last week to oppose the plan.
Just line up, folks, because we got a long room.
That's member Mike Wood chairing a committee of the whole when the board steps away for a bit to take a deeper dive into related proposals. Proposal 156 generated only 10 favorable comments from the public and 400 opposed. Sitka troller Jackie Foss was one of them.
Like any operation, you need diversification in order to be profitable, and this would take a major pillar from our ability to be profitable.
The short story is that while king salmon make the headlines, hatchery-produced chum salmon have become an economic mainstay in the southeast troll fishery. They've increased significantly in value over the last decade or more, and some of the returns have been just staggering. Millions of chum returning to a release site in West Crawfish Inlet in 2018 was a bonanza for trollers from around the region. Many stakeholders objected that someone from Fairbanks would try to roll back this kind of economic opportunity.
Heather Bauscher, Petersburg AC. We were in unanimous opposition to this. Initial concerns were that the proposer is not from this region and doesn't understand the impacts that this would have for communities.
Keenan Sanderson with the Tlingit and Haida Community Council has a degree in salmon ecology. He thought the proposal's 25% cut in hatchery production was ill-conceived.
You're not going just to see a reduction in salmon, but you're going to see a reduction in marine mammals. You're going to see a reduction in salmon sharks and pretty much everything that uses salmon as a food resource.
Others testified that more than the ecosystem would be affected. Steve Reifenstuhl is the former general manager of the Northern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association, one of two large hatcheries in the area. He felt that the economics of fishing would change.
Overall, any cut would affect coho and Chinook production. They don't pay the bills. They're very expensive. They don't really return one-to-one. It's less than one-to-one in terms of benefit cost. So that has to come from somewhere. So a cut in pink and chum would result in lowering budgets for coho and Chinook.
Reifenstuhl reminded the board that over 100 pages of scientific literature had been submitted showing that there was no linkage between Southeast hatchery production and salmon returns to the Yukon and Kuskokwim rivers. But board member Curtis Chamberlain disagreed. He believed there was a growing correlation between the size of hatchery releases in Southeast and the weight and ages of wild stocks harvested elsewhere around the state.
None of the scientific articles cited in opposition to Proposal 156 disputed this correlation, but instead cited other causes of mortality that are not within the board's control or correlations that touch on the broader carrying capacity issue.
Chamberlain offered a compromise. He proposed cutting pink production by only 7% and chums by 20%. When the Board of Fish met in full the following day to vote on the proposal, most members found the idea of any reduction in hatchery production to be arbitrary. Member Tom Carpenter from Cordova remained unconvinced.
I think that it's imperative that the board, when they make decisions like this,
only member Stan Zaray from Tanana joined Chamberlain in supporting the reduction. Zaray has a 25-year history watching the emergence of hatchery programs and observing changes in the ecosystems and economies on the rivers.
I am very frustrated as I read the preponderance of peer-reviewed studies showing possible harm from the present Alaska hatchery biomass in the ocean. So many Alaska fishermen's lives and families now depend on hatcheries. I do not believe this is what the original intent of hatcheries was.
Zaray said that Alaska's hatcheries should never have been allowed to grow to the point where they were needed to sustain Alaska's fisheries. Proposal 156 failed 2-5, with members Zaray and Chamberlain in favor. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
Now, the rest of the story. Cal was an animal lover. His house was virtually overrun with dogs and cats and canaries. And then one autumn, some of Kell's friends in Mississippi got together and sent him the main course for a Thanksgiving dinner. They sent it alive so it could be freshly killed for Kell's table. No, not a turkey, a raccoon. Well, Kell took one look at the innocent black-masked face, and it was love at first sight. Love at first sight! The little girl raccoon had charmed herself out of the stew pot and into Cal's heart, so Kell named her Rebecca. So Rebecca the raccoon and her pal Carl were together, a familiar sight in the neighborhood, especially in the evenings when the weather was pleasant and Kell and Rebecca always looked forward to evening walks, the latter on a leash for her own safety. They rarely passed a day that the two didn't play, as though Rebecca were Cal's child, some said. She had a large playpen a few steps from Cal's study, and among her toys was a huge water tub where she swished a bar of soap until the suds overflowed. Cal much enjoyed watching Rebecca splash around in her tub. He was always concerned that she had enough soap to play with, and since she had complete freedom to run through the house, Rebecca always knew where soap could be found. Frequently, Cal wore Rebecca around his neck like a big furry necklace. That was her ride. Her favorite dinner was persimmon, chicken, green shrimp, eggs, cream. Separations, Rebecca from Cal? Well, those were difficult for both. Even for 2 or 3 days, whenever Cal's business called him away, especially Cal would fret. Then one night Rebecca left home. Nobody knows why. Just plain curiosity about the rest of the world is the most plausible motive anybody could imagine. But Cal was frantic. He called the police, who assured him that an officer was on the way. No, Cal insisted it would take at least 4 policemen to track down the ingenious Rebecca. So 4 policemen hurried to Cal's house. They were most of the night searching the neighborhood with flashlights before one of the men spotted 2 glowing eyes in a hedge. A corn muffin lured the wayward raccoon into custody, and Rebecca was punished for her thoughtlessness by having to spend the remainder of the night in the cellar. Although I understand that Cal missed her so much that he served most of the sentence in the cellar with her. As pets and their masters go, I don't know that the relationship of which you've just learned is particularly remarkable, but it does give us a glimpse into the secret heart of someone, a man more often remembered for what he did not say than for anything he said. For Cal, whose chronic silence amused a nation, was President Calvin Coolidge. That's right. The home where his beloved Rebecca splashed and played and ran free was the White House. And now you know the rest of the story.
This is Statewide News from Alaska Public Media. I'm Ava White. Senator Lisa Murkowski introduced a bill yesterday that would keep the name Denali on North America's highest peak. Murkowski made her case on the Senate floor.
This massive mountain commands a reverent name, a steadfast name, not the name of an individual, a person who comes and goes, who may have had an impact for a brief moment in time. But this is ageless, timeless, the great one.
It's pretty easy for a senator to introduce a bill, but getting it passed into law is the trick. At her office later, Murkowski said she'd raise the issue to each of the other senators. Some of them, she says, have geographic names back home they'd like to change too.
I'm just going to take it every day and basically create a movement.
Denali stems from the Koyukon Athabascan language. In his inaugural address last month, President Trump said he was changing the name back to Mount McKinley, the mountain's official moniker during the 20th century and into the 21st.
And we will restore the name of a great president, William McKinley, to Mount McKinley, where it should be and where it belongs.
Trump then signed an executive order giving his Interior Secretary 30 days to make the change and also to update the official geographic names database. Senator Dan Sullivan of Alaska is a co-sponsor of Murkowski's bill, but getting many other Republicans in Congress on board won't be easy because they'd be going against the wishes of President Trump. King salmon fishing won't be allowed on the Kenai River and will be heavily restricted on the Kisilov River this summer. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game handed down several restrictions earlier this week on some of the central Kenai Peninsula's most popular sport fisheries. Two orders closed the Kenai River's early and late-run king salmon sport fisheries. The early-run closure covers the first half of the summer, from May 1st to June 30th, and the late-run order covers the second half of the summer, from June 20th to August 15th. The orders apply to the entire length of the Kenai River, from its mouth at Cook Inlet to its outlet in Skelak Lake. The closure comes amid continued poor king salmon runs and are nothing new to local anglers. Low numbers of king salmon have prompted similar closures and restrictions in each of the last 5 years. Both orders were issued due to anticipated poor king runs. According to the department, the Kenai River's 2025 early and late runs are projected to be the second lowest in almost four decades. This is Alaska Public Media.
The Alaska Morning News is brought to you in part by your local public radio station. The greatest compliment to a public media station is when a listener becomes a member. So do your part today by becoming a part of the team officially. Thank you for making a donation.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people, and the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age.
This is statewide news from Alaska Public Media. I'm Ava White. The Diamond West Girls High School hockey team won the state championship last weekend for the fourth consecutive year. The win cements the team as the most dominant in all of Alaska sports, but the season almost never got started. Despite the growth of girls and women's hockey worldwide, Alaska Public Media's Tim Rocky reports that financial difficulties have plagued the local league since its inception.
The girls' high school hockey season is a chance for competitive players to get extra ice time in between tournaments for their travel teams, and it's the only opportunity for high school girls to skate recreationally with their peers in Anchorage. Olivia Snelson is a senior at West. She doesn't play competitively, but relishes the chance to be part of the team.
In our schools, like, a lot of the people don't even know that we have girls' teams, even though our girls' teams, like, do a lot better than our boys' teams. There's just something so cool about being able to, like, wear your school's jersey and, like, represent your school on the ice.
Girls' high school hockey in Anchorage got started in 2003, but just 10 years later, the Anchorage School District dissolved the program, citing low participation. For the last 7 years, the league has been run by the Anchorage Hockey Association, and it receives no financial support from the school district. Brian Gross is the director of the Anchorage Hockey Association and coaches the Diamond West team. He says two large grants from the Dick's Sporting Goods Foundation have been a huge help.
So having the Dick's Foundation step in with that grant has been tremendous, because we've made it by the skin of our teeth a few years. We've been short a few years. We still plan to do the fundraising that we've done in the past, but if we can spread that money out over 4 or 5 years to fill the gaps to help us meet that $80,000 bill that we have every year, it can keep the girls on the ice.
Gross is hopeful that the league can stick around long enough to provide opportunities for more girls to play hockey. And coaches say they're seeing a surge in skaters at the younger age groups. Whitney Wigren played on the first all-girls team in Alaska over 30 years ago and now coaches youth hockey in Anchorage. Wigren says she was surprised by the number of girls who showed up for a tryout she held early last year.
Yeah, I looked at my registrations and I was like, I only got like 10 girls signed up. I was like, this is going to be pretty rough. The day of the event, I ended up having 47 girls register. I didn't even know there was 47 girls at the 2013, the 2014 birth ages. So going to the rink, I was totally humbled.
At a Learn to Skate event earlier this month at the Dempsey Ice Arena in Anchorage, girls from ages 4 to 10 don glitter and tutus and play games while learning skills from older kids.
The candy grab! Are you guys ready for this?
Yeah!
You guys remember how we do it?
Yeah!
And overall, just kind of a fun time to get together and being with someone that looks like you, you know. Hockey is mainly dominated by boys, which, you know, is totally fine, but there's also a space for girls, and that space is growing.
Four-time state champion Tana Carlson is one of the standout players on the Diamond West team. After a game where she scored 4 goals in January, Carlson said she was grateful for the chance to represent her school on the ice and wants to see more girls have the same opportunity she did.
I think we just need to keep holding that spirit, that girls' hockey spirit, and coming out here and just battling for the girls' hockey in Alaska.
For Carlson, the end of her playing days in a Diamond West uniform is bittersweet, but she'll be followed by a strong contingent of girls eager to make their mark on the ice. In Anchorage, I'm Tim Rocky.
This is Alaska Public Media.
Well, she didn't look as pretty as some others I have known. And she wasn't good at conversation when we were alone. But she had a way of making me believe that I belong. And it felt like coming home. When I found her, 'cause she seemed to be so proud of me, just walking, holding hands. And she didn't think that money was the measure of a man. And we seemed to fit together when I held her in my arms. And it left me feeling warm when I loved her. 'Cause she brightened up the day like the early morning sun. And she made what I was doing seem worthwhile. It's the closest thing to living that I guess I've ever known. And it made me want to smile when I loved her. I know some of us were born to cast our fortune to the winds. And I guess I'm bound to travel down a road that never ends. But I know I'll never look upon the likes of her again. And I'll never understand why I lost her. 'Cause she brightened up the day like the early morning sun. And she made what I was doing seem worthwhile. It's the closest thing to living that I guess I've ever known. And it made me want to smile when I loved her.
Take a long, long time for every little boy and girl. Now there's just one thing that I would like to know. Where did the 20th century go? I swear it was there just a minute ago. All over this world.
All over this world.
Called the Great Depression. I read all about it in the True Confessions. Sorry I was late for the recording session, but somebody put me on hold. Did anybody see them linoleum floors, petroleum jelly, and 2 world wars? They went around in revolving doors all over this world.
All over.
time is a rumbling and a rapping, standing at the window, thumping and a tapping. Everybody's waiting for something to happen. I hope it don't happen to you.
You know the judgment day is getting nearer. There it is in the rear view mirror. If you duck down, I could see a little clearer. All over this world. All over this world. All over this world. The 20th century is almost over. Almost over. Almost over. The 20th century is almost over. Gonna make me a big star, 'cause I can
play the part so well. Hope you'll come to see me in my movie, and I know that you're gonna plainly see the biggest fool that's ever hit the big time. All I gotta do is act naturally. 2, 3, 4. All I gotta do is act naturally.
You say that you can't get to sleep at night, and you don't know what it could be. Well, you can blame it on the moon for being too bright, but it sounds like love to me. You feel like a fever's coming on, got your whole body feeling weak, but you still dance around and hum the same old song. It sounds like love to me. Oh, it sounds like love.
I don't see. And who laughs the loudest at the old cartoons? Who complains that Christmas time comes way too soon? If you're wondering who, it's sentimental old you. Sentimental old you, I love you just the way you are. Sentimental old you, I need you like the nighttime needs the stars. You're the kind of dreamer that dreams big enough for two. And whatever you do,
and whatever, don't change.
Jack a diamond, and I know you of old. You've a robbed my poor pockets of a silver and gold. It's a whiskey, you villain, you've been my downfall. You've kicked me, you've covered me, but I love you for all. And it's a whiskey, rye whiskey, whiskey I cry. If I don't get rye whiskey, well, I think I will die. It's a beef steak when I'm hungry, rye whiskey when I'm dry, greenback when I'm hard up, oh heaven when I die. I'll go to yonder holler, I'll build me a still. I'll give you a gallon for the $5 bill. Ah, whiskey, rye, whiskey, whiskey I cry. If a tree don't fall on me, I'll live till I die. If the ocean was whiskey, and I was a duck, I'd dive to the bottom and never come. I meant to say up. Now the ocean ain't whiskey, I ain't a duck. I'll play Jack a diamond and trust to my luck. Ha, 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 whiskey, rye, whiskey, whiskey, I cry. If a whiskey don't kill me, I'll live till I die.
Shaking but the leaves on the tree. Oh, she's got a way that makes me keep trying till I make her mine. Someday the wind will blow, the sun will shine. Until that day she'll put my heart at ease. It ain't nothing shaking but the leaves on the tree. She locked my heart and threw away the key. Ain't nothing shaking but the leaves on the tree. Yeah! Sun's gonna shine. Until that day she put my heart at ease. Ain't nothing shaking but the leaves on the tree. My daddy told me there'd be times like these. Ain't nothing shaking but the leaves on the tree. Ain't nothing shaking but the leaves on the tree. That's the way love goes, babe. That's the music God made for all the world to sing. It's never old, it grows. Losing makes me sorry. And you say, honey, don't worry. Don't you? I love you too, and that's the way love goes.
Nothing but sorrow since you said we were through. There's no hope for tomorrow. How's the world treating you? every sweet thing that matters has been broken into. All my dreams have been shattered. How's the world treating you? Got no plans for next Sunday. Got no plans for today. Every day is the Monday. Every day you're away. Though our pathways have parted, to your memory I'm true. Guess I'll stay brokenhearted. How's the world treating you? Like I'm hoping you do. Are you lonesome without me? Have you found someone new? Are you burning and yearning? Do you ever get blue? How's the world treating you?
Just follow the stairways to this lonely room of mine. Number 9. Not so very long ago, you walked away from me. And after all the plans we made, you decided to be free. Loneliness surrounds me without your arms around me, and the sun will never shine in apartment number 9. Very long ago, you walked away from me. And after all the plans we made, you decided to be free. Loneliness surrounds me. Sun will never.
Sometimes you may think I take you for granted, and granted, sometimes maybe I do, 'cause I've grown so used to you lying next to me that I wouldn't want to live if you didn't love me. No, I wouldn't want to get up in the morning if you weren't there to kiss me and start my day off right, and to be waiting when I get home with loving just for me. No, I wouldn't want to live if you didn't love me. It's love that makes the world go round, and my love for you just grows with leaps and bounds, 'cause you know just what to do when the world has turned all blue. And I wouldn't want to live if you didn't love me. Start my day off right, and to be waiting when I get home with loving just for me. No, I wouldn't want to live if you didn't love me.
Programming on KSDP is supported by the Schumigan Corporation. Located in Sandpoint, the Schumigan family of businesses includes property and equity management, the Sandpoint Tavern, the Anchor Inn Motel, and the Anchor Inn Lounge. The Schumigan Corporation, serving its shareholders and the people of Sandpoint, on the web at www.schumigan.com or by telephone at 907-383-3525. The Schumigan Corporation, hometown values and service, a proud sponsor of KSDP.
I saw the light, I've been baptized by the fire in your touch and the flame in your eyes. I'm born.